This is the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In the language of the Quran, the Arabic language, meaning we give praise and thanks to God, the Lord, who cherishes, takes care of all the worlds, whatever is in the skies and whatever is in earth, and in people or in man. We witness that he's one and cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation. And we witness that Muhammad is not a god or an angel, but a human being like we are, as God says to us in the Holy Book. And we witness that he is the servant and messenger of God, mentioned in the Torah, the books that we know as the books that are given to the Jews, the revealed books, and mentioned also in the Injil that we know as the Gospel, the New Testament, or the books of the Christians. And we pray to God, remembering our Prophet Muhammad as the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, one who represents all the prophets. He represents the life and the true service that all prophets or messengers were called to render in God's name and for God's cause. We witness that he is the seal of the prophets and the model human for any who believes in God and believes in the last day. God says of him that he is certainly his model is an excellent model for anyone, didn't say for Muslims only, for any who believes in God and believes in the last day. That is, any who believes in God and believes that they have to be accountable to that God, that they and all others, their families and gone and their families with them and their families to come, all have to answer for their behavior on this earth to that same God. So any who believes in that God and believes in that accountability to that God, Muhammad is said to be an excellent model human being for them. And again, God says of him, and I'm saying this so that we will know our leader, Muhammad, better. So we'll know him clearly, see him clearly. Allah says again of him that he is a mercy to all the worlds. And the root meaning in the expression that translated the world is knowledge. The worlds of humankind are knowledge worlds. They have gone on the basis of a logic, and that logic has sprouted out and branched off to form a great tree of knowledge. And he's called, each tree will represent a world in this picture I'm giving you now. And he's called the Lord of all the worlds, meaning the Lord of all civilizations, all nations that base their society upon a logic. They had to use God, they had to use his creation, they had to benefit from his way, his design, his plan, in order to begin their own logic, so that they would have a logic to support human society. So he is the Lord of all the worlds, and Muhammad is called the mercy to all the worlds. Now I know you will say what it means, all the worlds, the heavenly bodies, the universe, certainly it means that too. But I said the root meaning of the word alameen is ilm. Ilm is the root meaning, and I've shared that with you so that we would now understand that God is not a God who made physical bodies like the ones we see in the sky and the one we live on called earth, and then he sat down and rest. That's not the real understanding that we should have. No, he made those bodies, but he also then began another creation, the creation of the human intellect, the human spirit, the human soul, and the human spirit, and the human heart. He began that wonderful creation. And for that wonderful creation, out of that wonderful creation, and from that wonderful creation, we have worlds of knowledge, worlds of science, worlds of knowledge, worlds of cultures, and God is the one that made all that possible for us, and Muhammad is given as the last prophet as a mercy to all the worlds. So we say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be on him, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and on his descendants and on his companions all, and on us, be peace, ameen. We're not created or existing on this earth for folly, for pleasures of the flesh, or pleasures of the mind, but we're existing on this earth for God's purpose, God's cause. He put us here to serve his purpose, to serve his cause. And once we know our purpose, we then can discover God's purpose. But until we know our own purpose for being on this creation, we will never know God's purpose. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, anyone who has seen himself has seen his Lord. And that saying has contributed somewhat to thinkers in Islam going to extremes and leaving the real purpose. It has contributed to mystics thinking in the extremes and losing the real purpose. They got confused, looking for the wrong thing, and thought that that saying was saying that God and man can become one. That when man discovers himself, he makes his journey, he purifies his soul, that he can become so pure and so much in accord with God's will that he and God becomes one. He emerges into the light and being of God, and they become one. This is a belief of mystics, and it is a wrong belief. It's not Islamic. Exactly what is meant by that saying is that when you discover your purpose for being in existence, for being on this earth, you then know that you didn't create yourself, and you know that you didn't have the ability, the power in your capacity to design that plan for your own life. But then you look for the one that did that, and that knowledge guides you to God. The prophet Abraham, called Ibrahim in the Quran, Father Abraham, he had a condition in himself. He had a conviction already that made him firmly believe that he was to serve a higher, a superior. Why? Because he had already studied himself. He had already faced his own reality, his own life, with his great opportunities, with his great capacity, and with his limits also, with his limits, with his limitations. And discovering himself, now he wants to know, where is that God that did this wonderful thing, made this wonderful creature? So he began to look in the universe for that God. And he thought the sky had that God. He was looking in the night sky, and he thought the sky had that God. But when he saw a star fall, he said, this can't be my God. My God is not one to fall. What made him have that high estimation of God? It was his knowledge of his own creation. That anyone, the Creator that made me in this great mold and in this great pattern, in this great picture, cannot be inferior, cannot be one that falls. So he said, my God is not one that falls. He sat all night searching the universe, searching the space for God, and the sun began to rise. And when the sun began to rise, he, as lovers, romantic people, or as just any open-minded, good, healthy thinker, when you see the sunset, if you see it for the first time, It is awe. It awes you. It's breathtaking. It fills you with awe. So he said, this must be the God. After he saw it in his splendor and beauty rising, he said, this must be the God. So he watched it as it ascended up to the zenith, highest point in the sky at noon. And then he began to watch it all day long as it declined. And finally it set, and darkness came again. And he said, Abraham said, according to the Quran, he said, no. This that I thought was the biggest of them all and the God is not the God. My God is not one to set. Think about that. My God is not one to set. And then the words come in the Quran. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. God. Allah, the God. There is no other God. The eternal, the everlasting, who exists and never dies. Says, La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Time does not affect him. Time does not produce any change in him. And he does not slumber or sleep. Praise be to Allah. So how do you discover the true God in the true picture? By first knowing himself, knowing his own creation, knowing his own greatness and his own smallness, his own opportunities, his own opportunities for achievements and progress, but also his own limitations. When he knew himself correctly, then he was able to discover his God. And our topic today is what God wants for man, what Islam wants for man, and community. What Islam wants for man and community is exactly what is happening in this very special time for mankind on this earth. And that is that man discover himself in his true human nature and possibilities for that human nature. How far can he take it? How far can he go? Be all he can be. Respecting what God wants. Or respecting what God has established to be respected. Be all you can be.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
Just like I was coming here and I told the people, I said, oh, I said, everybody's welcome. Somebody want to wear the curtains that's hanging on the wall? They want to snatch them off and wrap themselves as long as they clean. So wrap up and come out to Jumu'ah. I've come out to this Sunday gathering. Welcome, welcome. The curtains will be fine. As long as they're not too sheer, you have something to protect yourself up under the curtains, you know? Fine, fine. We got room for all, as long as all can respect the room. So God wants for us what is happening in this great time. Time I call the time of religion. He wants that man wake up and learn from his mistakes. That he cannot plan society without respecting the human life in the excellence that God has created it. He has to respect human life in the excellence that God gave it, in its inherent excellence.
Then you can plan the future of society. The future of society has been planned in these modern cities like Chicago and other big cities and Detroit and all these other cities around Los Angeles, New York, has been planned by city planners, aided by engineers and scientists of both the material nature and also human nature. They've been aided by them. But something was ignored. Why? Because now we look at many things that has been given to us in our modern city life, and we find that this is against the vital life of human beings. Overcrowding, piling poor people up in high structures, proven to be wrong now. Aerosols, cigarette smoke, many other pollutants in the air and in the water threatens the human life now. Being discovered now, too late. But something has to be done, so something is being done. New legislation to make corrections, to punish those who violate the new laws, to give incentives to those who respect the purpose or the object, the destiny that this nation or these laws want for man, those who will do things beyond what the law requires to make it better, there are incentives for them. A new world, a new time. Respecting what God wants for the human being in the society. Respecting the heavenly conditions that God wants for human souls on this earth. God wants them to be free from all these agonies. That's why the picture of paradise is given to us. That God created the human being for the first time and put him in a paradise. And we are taught to see that paradise in this picture. It is a place that was pure. The air was pure. The water was pure. The food was beautiful and rich and wholesome. The environment was peaceful and safe until the devil, the Satan, came in and seduced the mind of the man to come out of the state that God had put them in. This is the picture. So we now have industry, business, industry, religion, government, all working together with the artists too, working together to bring about conditions in the environment that God would be pleased with. But they're not working for it with God in mind. They're working for it with a better treatment of human beings in mind. What God wants, what Islam wants for man and community, wants that man, when he's in charge and in power, that man will seek and strive and struggle to humanize the environment so that the environment stays human, so that it accommodates human souls, human sensitivities, human aspirations, human spirit, and does not work against it, the precious, vital human life. And what else does it want on the other hand? That the society respect the human life and grow richer so that the society, so that the human being need to grow, need to progress, need to have more opportunity, will be accommodated. So the society should be designed so that it accommodates not only the present life of the human being, but anticipate what we will be asking for when we are more knowledgeable. When we are freer to create and freer to produce, try to anticipate where this human being will be 20 years from now, 500 years from now. Anticipate where he will be, what will be his appetite. what would be his needs based upon the realities of the time, his situation now, his advancement now, and his hopes now. Study that and then anticipate what he will be wanting 100 years from now, 500 years from now. And then plan the society, plan the civilization, plan the nation, the environment, to accommodate him and assist him in the road to that high place where he's headed. Yes, this is the great picture that we should all be looking at, especially leaders. Not just leaders in engineering, leaders in business, leaders, developers for the neighborhood. No, imams, preachers, imams, teachers in the school and teachers from the pulpit. We should be aware of that, because maybe we will be the greatest hindrance. Maybe we will be the greatest block in the way of this great work to make the soul and aspiration of the human being mate with the soul and aspirations of the nation, and that they complement each other and assist each other like left hand and right hand, like left foot and right foot. If we don't know that, we ourselves will be perhaps the greatest obstacle in the way of that. So we should understand that and know that when God says you are the best community, you are the best community, evolved, raised up, step by step, as a child raised by its parents, as a student lifted up by the teachers and the curriculum, raised up for the good of all mankind. Ukhrijat linnas, raised up for the good of all mankind. You know, I was coming on here and I got several things to share with you today. I already shared one, got two more to share with you. Just a little experience I had just coming from the airport to here. And I said, you know, God says, sometimes, you have to use mercy. Not justice, mercy. And says sometimes you will find that kindness to an avowed enemy will affect him in a way to change him into a bosom friend. Kindness, not justice, mercy. And I also have learned by experience that if somebody I really hate, I mean, I never hate without love. I can't recall a time when I hated a thing without love. I always hate with love. There's love there too. They're never just all hate. But I have really hated. I told the brothers, I said, I know a person I hated so much, until I had no thought that I could do anything with them or be in that company at all. Only thing that I thought that I could do was just turn them over to hell. I didn't see any other place to put them that would be good for the place. But the worst person that I can think of in my own mind, imagine in my own mind, thank you. I'm reading the sign, says, welcome back to Detroit, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you. So from my own experience, I've learned that no matter how ugly, how cruel, how brutal, how demonic a person looks to be in my eyes, that if they're in human form, in a human body, if they suffer enough, I stop seeing them as my enemy. I start seeing him as a human being. Yes, and I want to pray for him. I want him to do something to help him. That's human nature. I don't care how much you dislike a person, how wrong they have treated you. Enough suffering can come to that person to make you stop seeing them as that person that hurts you. And you'll start seeing them as a person that needs mercy. Isn't that wonderful how God made our souls? Isn't that wonderful that he gave us a heart like that? And I heard it say recently by someone, so you know, black folks can forgive anybody. Well, they were saying it like, you know, we shouldn't be so forgiving. Well, maybe so. But the bigger beauty of that is that we have been blessed by God with such wonderful souls that we can forgive anybody. Let's stay that way. We are special. And those who are like us in other groups, those who are like us in those groups are special people too. That's the best of the human nature. When you can forgive like God can forgive. I want to share one more experience that I had on the way from the airport here. And then I'm going to bring this to a close. We stopped at the restaurant. Got up early, didn't take breakfast or anything. So we stopped at the restaurant to get a little bite before coming here. I told the brothers, I said, this is not the point now. This is just a little digressing a bit here. I told the brothers, now, you know, anybody that's a part of my show, you have to know that I'm the boss. And I told Brother Rafa, he's my partner, he knows me. I told him, I said, I'm not bragging. I said, I just want things to work out well. So I told him, I said, they're expecting us at 1 o'clock? I said, we should be there at 1 o'clock. I said, in time of my father, if the meeting was supposed to open up at 2, you couldn't believe that it opened up at 2:30 or 2:15. If he said 2, that's the time you open all over the nation. 2 o'clock. And what that does, that's wise. What it does. It works to get everybody there, the maximum number, there on time, so you can get something done and go about your business.
Join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Mohammed, Muslim American Spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. Or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.